This is a replay of our Sunday, January 15th church service. We hope you enjoy the worship music by Sylvia and team and message by Pastor Raph Gaudio.
As we begin our service with some scriptures and prayer, if you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 6. And I just want to read one verse. Verse 3, Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. Or do you not know that all of us representing those who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Praise God. You say, well, what does that mean? All that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross is ours. We've been baptized into all the benefits of all that Christ accomplished at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And when we come to Christ, we enter into those benefits. How many know there's benefits that come with being a Christian? So many benefits. One of them is the ability to enter into his divine presence through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can pray. How many know we can pray? Thank God that we can pray this morning, that we can enter in to his divine presence. Let's stand this morning, and we're going to open up in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you today that we can pray, that a way has been made that we can enter directly into your divine holy presence. Lord, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would have his unhindered way in each one of our lives. We pray, Lord, as we lift our hands to praise you and to worship you, Lord, that you would be blessed. Lord, that you would be blessed today by our praise and our worship as we have entered in to this house. Lord, we have joined our spirits together to praise you and to magnify you. So, Lord, we just pray for the worship team as they lead us. Lord, let a blessing, let the anointing rest upon them today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Now, sing for joy now, our God is for us, the Father's love. is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us?
Our God is for us. Amen. Give the Lord a clap. Amen. Amen.
Your presence, there is truth.
praise you, Lord. We just bless you, Jesus. You are the King of our lives, Lord. You are the King of our hearts, O God. We glorify you, Jesus. There is no one, no one like you, O God. En kamocha Adonai. En kamocha Adonai. Lord, you alone are God. You alone are Savior. You alone are Deliverer, O God. You alone are the one worthy of our worship, O God. Jesus, we just lay down our idols right now. In Jesus' name, we just come against every spirit that would hinder your people from worshiping you in spirit and in truth, O God. We just ask, Lord God, that you would pour out your spirit in a very mighty way this morning, O God, that we would enter into your presence with thanksgiving, Lord, and into your courts with praise, that we would be thankful to you and bless your holy name because you are good. And your love endures forever, O God. You alone, O God. You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord. Never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful.
And all my life you have been
think about his faithfulness.
All my life you have been so, so good. Yes, you have. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness.
Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Take those heavy burdens, those things that you brought to this service today. The Lord would say, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you, says the Lord. Take those situations that you just can't figure out and lay them at the foot of the cross. Take those situations that you have no answers for and lay them at the foot of the cross. Know this day that the Lord desires to answer you. He desires to speak into your life wisdom that would only come from him. Know this day that the Lord is present to minister to you. If you'll just open your heart to him today, he will pour into you and you will know the way to go, the direction to take. The Lord would ask you this day, just be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, says God Almighty.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for speaking to your church, Lord.
The women sing, "My Comfort." I on? Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ellen, who is running the soundboard. Thanks to those on the radio station for all your help. Let's give them a hand. So what are we going to talk about today? Yeah, there you go. We are. Better be. What is he doing in your life? Maybe something difficult. Could be. Could be. But he's good. I like how Brother Uruguay says, God is only good. You know, that's true. He is good. He's the epitome of goodness. Do you like potatoes? Yeah. You know, you might remember historically there was a famine, an Irish potato famine. There was a blight on the potatoes and destroyed the crop of potatoes because Irish people would eat potatoes every day. And sometimes, or at that time, that's all they had to eat. But you know, when potatoes go bad, they really go bad. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? They smell so horrible. Actually, it's been compared to rotting flesh. And you know, when you have a bad potato in your box or whatever, wherever you have your potatoes stored, you got to get that rotten potato out of, you got to find it and you got to get it out of there quickly. Why? It stinks, yeah. What else? It rots the rest. That's right. Even you, when you find that potato that's rotten, you've got to get the rest that it may have touched, either cleaned really well or out of there as well, right? You know, actually, rotten potato gives off a noxious gas called solanine. And apparently, some people have died when they've been exposed to too much of that stuff. So is that a myth? I don't know. I checked it out. It seems like it's real. Can't always believe everything you read, see on the internet, right? But see, bread, for an example. Have you ever had a nice piece of bread and you're like, you taste it and it's like, this is a little earthy tasting. Can't see any mold anywhere, but it tastes moldy. And I don't know, do you throw it out if that was the case? No, not everybody would. Right, Dad? But too much mold is very bad for you. It is bad for you. It can make you sick. But the thing about it is, if there is mold, even just in the taste of that piece of bread, it's going to spread, and it spreads quickly. The interesting thing is that with bread, the ingredient that makes it rise also causes its demise. Ooh. What is that ingredient? Yeast. Right. It causes its deterioration. Let's open the Word of God to John chapter 2, verse 13 to 22. If you don't have your Bible, it's going to be up on the screen here. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. And those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these away. Stop making my father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. That's in the Psalms. It's written in the Psalms, Psalm 69. The Jews then said, what sign will you show us as your authority for doing these things? Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Let's pray. God our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're going to speak to us today. We want to speak the name of Jesus over everyone here. We want to speak the name of Jesus and all we do and all we say. Open our hearts to receive from your word today. That we would be changed. That you would convict. That you would heal. That you would bring freedom where we're bound. We depend on you. And we ask that you would so reign in this service by your Spirit in a powerful way, Lord God, that you would receive all the glory. That God would be glorified in the preaching of his word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Passover, this is the setting, the backdrop for what we're reading today, was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So the Passover is such an important festival for the Jews because it marks, we know what it means, don't we? I don't have to necessarily say it, but it's so important because it talks about the salvation of the Jewish people, where God set them free from slavery. And not only that, for us as believers, when we think about the Passover, it reminds us of our own salvation from sin. It's metaphorical, right? In and out, aren't I? A little bit. I'm not on, I don't think. Okay, well, just now I'm really on. I'm on! Woo! Wake up. Who's asleep in here? Well, it's an important celebration. And the thing was, it was, according to the word of God, according to his law, that every male of proper age was supposed to be in Jerusalem, the city of the great king, to celebrate, to keep the feast. And it so happened that Jesus was a Jewish man of the right age, and here he was. You know, Passover in Israel is very interesting. Forget about getting any bread, because it's also the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and you cannot get bread. Okay, you can get potato bread. But it's not very good, okay? Because bread made with leaven during Passover is not available. Why? Because it says so in the Old Testament. Okay. All right. Better? All right. Do I got to start again? No. He didn't care about the worship of Yahweh. So the temple, the actual foundation of that temple itself was no good. Not only that, there was also a relationship between the Jewish authority and the Romans. That yeast is there. Ideal conditions for those spores to grow. The temple itself, outwardly, was beautiful. I don't know if you've ever looked in your Bible and you find pictures of the temple of Herod the Great. It's nice. It's very beautiful. Magnificent. But inwardly, it needed cleansing. It needed purging. That would only come from the presence of Jesus himself.
And lo and behold, he comes to the temple at this time. Turn, if you will, to Malachi chapter 3. So this describes the mission of what Jesus was going to accomplish while he was at the temple. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way for me. So this, of course, is talking about John the Baptist, okay, who prepared the way for the Lord, the prophet like Elijah. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Refiner of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. This who is the one who came, prophesied in the book of Malachi. So the Lord was to see the state of the Father's house. It was full of activity. It was busy. The mooing of the oxen.
Moo.
Buying of the sheep. Can you imagine? This is just outside. Can you imagine you coming to the church and you're hearing animals right outside there? Baa. And the doves flapping and cooing. Making all kinds of mess, the smells. Have you ever been to an animal auction? It's a crazy, chaotic place. Try and imagine that for a moment. This was the temple of the Most High God. And this is what was going on just outside in the temple courts, the courts of the Gentiles. This is what Jesus encountered. Currency exchange. I can imagine that there was quite a bit of shouting. Shekele, shekele, shekele. You know, when you go into the Middle East and you go to where the money changers are, they're shouting. A Middle East open market, it's noisy. They're shouting. Offering and advertising their services. Bartering in the typical Middle Eastern fashion. Have you ever been to an open market in Mexico? Imagine that. If you have, you know what I'm talking about. Or anywhere else around the world where it's a flurry of activity. And this was right outside where the temple of the Most High God was. Why were they there? Well, it's not necessarily practical or convenient for worshipers observing the Passover who are bringing their animals, perhaps, or not bringing their animals from home, because they were supposed to bring sacrifices to keep the feast. But maybe they did bring an animal and it got injured along the way. So their sheep or their oxen would have to be inspected by the priest. And if it was certified, if they said, yes, this is a sacrifice without blemish, this animal is okay, then they could sacrifice it. But if not, well, we can help you, can't we? We can provide all you need. We got it right here. For a price. This was the place where the worship of God, Yahweh, the Most High, was supposed to take place. But they were pushing business. It made sense, business-wise. Supply and demand. Hey, these people need these things. Let's make it available. Well, step up, my good man. It so happens we have all your livestock needs right here. Anything you need. You're on a budget? Well, we got doves, too. Special today. Two for one. And if you hurry up, we'll include this decorative menorah just for you. Bring it home to the wife. Happy Passover. What's that? You need to pay the temple tax and you only have Roman money? Well, we can help you too. You remember that it's illegal. It's against the law of God to use Roman money. Well, we have shekels right here for a price. It had become a system, an industrial complex. So how did the Lord respond? Well, it says in verse 15, he made a scourge of cords and drove them out of the temple. The sheep and the oxen. He poured out the money of the money changers and overturned their tables. This was a very radical action on his part. And to those that were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business. You know, that the sting that maybe some of those money changers felt, some of those merchants of those animals, was nothing compared to the sting of the scourge that Jesus felt when he went to the cross. Because this was the kind of thing that he was to die for. Man making merchandise of the house of God. Reducing the most holy God to a product that you could buy. He turned worship, they were turning worship into commerce. Worshippers into consumers. That's what was happening. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus calls what he discovered in the temple courts a den of robbers. They were exploiting the sacrificial system. They were exploiting the temple of God for their own purposes and exploiting the people that were coming. The hypocrisy is staggering. You might remember, it's the Pharisees that were chasing Jesus constantly, trying to pick at him for some infraction of the law. Look at the depth of this hypocrisy. Exploiting the temple of God, the most holy temple of God, the place of worship, and turning in those people that wanted to worship God into consumers who are accessing convenient items for worship. It's convenient for them. Mark 11:16. Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers. See, the thing was, is that the court of the Gentiles was where this was going on. What a witness. What a witness to the Gentiles. That the people of God were exactly like the world. That was the message that was being shown or spoken or demonstrated. They're business folk. The priests are just salesmen. They were exploiting the temple of God and what it represented to make a buck or a shekel. That's why the religious system is broken. It was completely broken 70 years later after the Lord's death. Where, remember, he prophesied in Matthew 25 what would happen to the temple? There would be not one stone laid upon the other. It was to come down completely. He prophesied that. But what about the system itself? I say it's revived. And some of you might know what I'm talking about. Consumer Christianity. I remember visiting large churches with their bookstores and coffee shops and worship music. And I'm not against any of those things. But you know, woe to the church that turns the worshipers of God into a consumer. Because the gospel is a precious truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ that saved you and saved me is not something to be reduced to a product that we sell, that we peddle, that we exploit for our own purposes. We're not called to that as a church. And it happens over and over again. Do you like Christian books? I do. I love these. I love Christian books. But you know what? The revelation of God cannot be bought. The Holy Spirit cannot be bought. If we want to have the Holy Spirit filled in us, you spend time with God and you worship Him in spirit and in truth. Good night. This building does not matter. Praise God for it. Thank you that we have it. But the moment that it becomes more important than worshiping God in spirit and in truth, we're in big trouble. If you start to see books written by Pastor Dave or myself out there before you come in here, you better give us a talking to. Pastor Dave's method on how to read the Bible. You got to have that before you come into the service. Or the worship team's songs. How to worship like the worship team. It's ridiculous. You know, and the thing is that the presence of God reveals that. The presence of Jesus reveals that, and He calls it out. He calls it out in the church, and He calls it out in us. Are you listening today? You know what? There's no condemnation. But I'm just saying to you, allow the Spirit of God to search your heart, and where you have become, where your Christianity is too convenient, respond to the Spirit of God. It's not convenient. Was it convenient for the cross, for Jesus to go to the cross and die for us? No, it wasn't. Because the thing about consumer Christianity is you want more and more and more, but you receive less and less and less. And that leaven is working. And the one that can find it is Jesus. Because it's in His presence that He discovers it. And He routs it out. Because He has the authority to do so. And He will if you let Him. Verse 17. His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Jesus was zealous for the house of God. He was then and He is now. God is a consuming fire. He's a fire. And He's going to burn that sin away. Yes, He cleanses us with his blood. But He brings the fire of the Holy Spirit to convict us. Revelation chapter 1, the magnificent, glorious Christ is described as having eyes of fire. A penetrating fiery gaze when He examines the seven churches. That's not science fiction. That's real. That's what he's like. He is amazing. He is powerful. He's mighty. And He's looking at you. He's looking at me. Will you respond to Him? In this day, right now, not tomorrow, right now. What does He see in His church today? The church, the Christian church is struggling. Struggling to be relevant. You heard that before? How can we just appease everyone? Come.
Well, I need to be speaking in the mic. Getting carried away.
Striving in the marketplace of ideas. To try and reach consumers of information. Information is not revelation. It's helpful, but it's not revelation. Does God see a noisy, filthy marketplace of irreverence? Because the consumer church is horribly irreverent of God. They're too distracted. It's inconvenient. Verse 18. What sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus was using figurative language and alluding to his crucifixion. He was going to die for what they had done. Their only hope was to come to the cross. The sacrificial death of Jesus and his resurrection. And their response was, it took 46 years to build this temple. You're going to raise it up in 3 days? They could not understand his words. They could not understand that he was talking about something deeper than the temple itself. They couldn't hear him. They couldn't perceive his words. Stuck with the tangible, the thing right in front of them. Do you know what I'm saying? It's so easy for that to happen, where we can't hear the voice of the Lord because we're seeing and we can only perceive what's right in front of us. Consumerism in the church does that. It drives it. But the cross is where their only hope was going to be. He died even for them. And even in their sin, he was offering himself to them. He's the one who had the authority to call out what was going on there. Come to the cross. He didn't say it that way, but that's what he was saying. That's what he was referring to. For us as believers, it's not about the church building. It's not about the Christian system. Denominational traditions. That doesn't make us who we are. We are part of the temple of Christ. That's who we are. It's not about good marketing. Because the temple of Jesus Christ is a temple not made with hands. The gospel is not a product. It's not a scheme. It is not a self-help gimmick. It's the truth of Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross and his resurrection life that he gave to us freely. When we start to take this for granted, when we start to think it's not important, when we start to look at it glibly, irreverently, maybe he's looking right at us and saying, get cleaned up. You're supposed to be a house of prayer, not a marketplace, not a filthy marketplace. It is the most precious gift of the temple of the Lord's body, broken down for his death on the cross, for the ugliness of a sinful humanity. Let us not cheapen those words of life by how we respond to him, by how we live. Ephesians chapter 2, 20 to 22 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fit together, growing into the temple of the Lord, in whom also you're being built together into the dwelling place of the Spirit. One thing is for sure. If Jesus cleansed the temple that he was about to replace, how much more will he cleanse the temple that is his church? Will you submit to his authority as his presence and his word drives out the oxen, the sheep, and the doves of our lives? Will you allow him to dump out the coins and the money changers that has become the market or the den of thieves in your heart? Let him make you a house of prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I just invite you to come in our midst, and I know you're here with us. I just pray, Lord, that you would do what you want to do in our lives, Lord. We submit to you. We submit to your Spirit. We thank you that you love us so much that you desire us to be clean. You don't want us to walk in a way that is unholy. And Lord, maybe there are those that are walking the way that you want, and that's okay. But Lord, I pray that where we're convicted, where we're hearing your voice, where we're sensing your presence that wants to do a cleansing in our lives, Lord, I pray that we would respond, however that looks. Where we submit ourselves to you, Lord, for you are our everything. We thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Stand this morning in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we just sing a worship song this morning? I'd like us just to lift our hands, just to worship Him this morning. Can we do that? The Bible says, lift up holy hands in His name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Created
me a clean heart,
O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Created me a clean heart. Right spirit within me.
Cast me not away.
Oh, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Father, your word says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I thank you that we can leave this house this morning with a clean slate. Father, I thank you this morning that the blood of Jesus cleanses and purifies our life. Lord, I thank you for that this morning. I thank you for the blood of Jesus today, oh God. I thank you for the blood, the power that's in the blood of Jesus. I want us to sing that hymn before we leave. There's power in the blood. Hallelujah.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Hold it, hold it, hold it. Now, there's a hymn book in front of you. We don't use them very often, but I think we should use them. Well, we have it up here on the screen. Okay, good. Let's do it again. Let's sing it again.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in blood. There is power in the blood. Could you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
How many believe that this morning? The power of the blood can set the captive free this morning in the name of Jesus. I'm so happy about that. Excuse me for being happy this morning. but I am so thrilled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that has set me free, that has liberated me, that has loosed me, hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, let's sing the chorus a few more times. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.